child? I'm not 100% sure. I'm recording it somewhere. That's all I know. All right, Trina. Do you fire Trina? Make sure before I call, I'm going to call on Charlotte. You had your hand up before this call, so I just want to make sure that I'm getting somebody who wants the medical weight loss. So I'm going to call on Christina or Charlotte first, and then Trina, if your hand doesn't go down, I'll know that that's you wanted to get coached on medical weight loss. All right, what can I help you with? I
Oh,
used to go. Wait, what is your name?
Charlotte.
Charlotte. I went to school with a girl named Sherry Resnick. I've never
Oh
seen that name
my God.
since. Yeah.
I was
Like
Sherry Resnick.
at
When I
Father
was in,
Ryan?
pardon?
Did you go
No.
to Father Ryan? I was gonna say you didn't, you don't look like Sherry. She had like just black
That's so
hair.
funny because kids used to make fun of Charlotte when I was a kid. I grew up in Brooklyn. There was this great cake called Charlotte Russe, and they'd call me Charlotte Russe, Charlotte Russe. I'd cry. They'd call me Cry Baby. So when I was 8 years old, I made my father go up to school and change my name. So I
That's
changed my name
hilarious.
to Sherry, and I was
Yeah.
Sherry Resnick till I got divorced. So I became
Okay.
Sherry Resnick, then another last name, and then I went back to Charlotte. That's so weird.
Yeah, I went to school with a girl named Sherry Resnick. So I know that's why I was like looking. I was like,
That's so weird.
all right, what are we coaching on today?
Well, I came on, a few minutes early trying to get onto this call, and I'm so glad to be with you. I am taking Zepbound for about a year, and I started out with the vials for the compound solution, and so I started very low, but then I got approved by my insurance because I have moderate sleep apnea. So
Okay.
the insurance then, so I was very happy.
Okay.
Great. And I'm not doing anything about the sleep apnea because the sleep doctor just showed me a lot of barbaric devices I had no interest in.
Okay.
And I went to a cardio from and this morning actually I watched a YouTube conversation with Oprah, her doctor who wrote the book Enough, by the way, same word, enough. With her, and it was very informative because it gave me more information than I had about using GLP-1. So, the day very soon after I started taking a small dosage, I lost the food noise. I wasn't hungry. I wasn't hungry that much, when I ate. But over time, I guess as my body gets used to it, that part goes away. But at the beginning, I found it's a very magical, very strong medicine. And I was really impressed. And then what happened to me, I was able to go on the regular little pens, which are much easier to give for me than the vial sticking my in my belly. So I'm telling you this background to just tell you a little bit of background. So immediately, say the first 4 months, I lost about 30 pounds, and it
Okay.
was, and I was joined No BS Weight Loss before that because I wanted a backup program. I wanted a backup. I wanted to learn. I had been in another program that was no sugar, no flour, and that's great if you follow it, and then
Yeah, like
if you
yeah, it's
don't.
yeah.
So I lost 30 pounds, which is nice, great, but I really need to lose about 80 pounds. So I'd say
Okay.
another, then the next 6 months or so, I lost about another 5 pounds. It's not that I want to emphasize the weight loss, but that was basically, I want to be at a healthy weight. In the meantime, I was sent to cardiologist, pulmonologist, because when I walk or when I do any exercise at all, I get out of breath. So
Okay.
my feeling was, if I'm thinner, that won't happen. And I did all these tests, and finally, some pulmonologist said to me, "I think your heart is okay. I mean, I have a little plaque, but I think basically your heart's okay. I think basically your lungs are okay. I think you just need to continue to lose weight and walk."
Okay.
And but I've been plateauing around that 30, 33, 35 weight loss, 38 weight loss. And now then I went up. So I went from 2.5 to 5. When I went to 7.5, I started getting really bad tummy aches. some nausea, which a little tiny pill, I forgot what it's called, takes that away. And
Zofran.
yeah, that's like a magic
Yeah.
bullet also.
I am very accustomed to the Zofran. We had norovirus run rampant through my family a few months ago. And Logan has had a lot of stomach issues the last 18 months, and we keep Zofran on hand because if he starts vomiting, it don't stop unless we can, you know.
It's pretty amazing. So I don't take it that often, but when I really don't feel well. And also I have a history of migraines, probably more from premenstrual, like endocrine kind of things.
Well, what do you think you're, what are you wanting help with?
I want help with what do I need to know to be more successful with this? Because I had to
Why
go
are you
from
not
seven
losing
five
weight?
down to five.
Let's take the shot out of the picture. Why are you not losing weight?
Maybe because I don't know, maybe my body is adjusting, maybe because I'm
Take
having
the
some
shot out.
sugar. Oh, okay.
Take the shot out. Take
I would,
all that out.
the only
Is
thing I
it?
could, I'm having little puddings, like the Jell-O chocolate pudding. It's little, not that many calories, but maybe because I'm having more than one a day, and
How many are you having a day?
maybe two, maybe three. Worst
Okay.
case scenario, four. It's either tapioca or chocolate.
Why are you eating so much chocolate?
I sort of, it's easier to go down. When I eat regular food, I don't want that much. Even though we're
But you
taking
want plenty when you can have chocolate.
when it's like a pudding.
Yeah, that's what I'm
Because,
saying.
yeah.
Okay,
So
well.
after the last call, when you talked about GLP-1s a few weeks ago, I thought maybe I should just stop them. And then I got like pissed off, and there was no way I was going to stop them. Like, I ate
Don't
more.
care whether you're on it or not, but if you're not losing weight and you're on something that's already working on the metabolic side, is there emotional eating going on? Right
Yes, there is
now we
some.
know, then that's why we're not losing weight. Just because you're on a shot doesn't mean you get a free pass to just, it's just like our last person. It's like,
Sometimes you get a free pass because you don't want that food. I don't want it. I'm not interested.
no, you know, you're clearly like,
Not
I want you to
right.
think about this. You're not getting a free pass. If you're emotionally, like, why are you emotionally eating?
You mean like why? Like stress or?
Yeah.
Because it's one, it's built into my biology, probably.
No, it's never built into the biology. It is a learned response.
So.
Emotional eating is a, I don't give a damn what Oprah said. There's some controversy over what Oprah said, and I'm just going to tell all of you, take that interview with a fucking grain of salt because there has been a lot of people come out against, she really misrepresented obesity in it. So just be careful on that, okay? Now I have not watched it, so I'm not going to like go down the rabbit hole. But what I do know is that emotional eating is a learned response. That is not a biological thing.
Well, I was thinking the dosage, I needed a higher dosage, your body
Yeah.
gets used to
It
it.
doesn't solve your emotional
Right.
life. There's like Zepbound is not say like everybody who takes Zepbound now is no longer lonely on the weekends.
Right.
Yay! Like that is not what it, that is not the indication, whatever they call those things, you know, like they put on
Right.
there. It's like
Right.
if it was doing that,
Right.
everybody who felt like ass in life would be like, get me on that shot. I'm tired of being lonely. I'm tired of being stressed. I'm tired of being whatever it is, right?
But
So
when it works, when the dosage seems to be right, I have no in have little interest.
right, you're talking about the food. I'm talking about your life.
Yeah. There's a
What
lot
is
of
wrong with
reasons.
your life that food fixes it sometimes?
Right. It's
Tell
a
me
friend,
that.
I'm lonely, I'm stressed, I have a, emotional job.
Right. Right. You've got to separate, like, there are things that that shot is doing for you to be able to not eat. Okay?
Yes.
There are things in your life that go on that says, fuck that. Let's eat. The shot can't fix fuck that. Okay. I just amuse myself sometimes. I'm just like, somebody should put me on the Oprah panel and let me say, here's what's going on, y'all. All right. So, what we want to do is just for you to recognize, like, You can manage the dosage and you can do those things, but not at the expense of ignoring. Like, I want to fix my loneliness. I want to figure out why I feel lonely and how to be there for myself when I'm lonely. I want to figure out what stresses me. Is it things in my control? Like, I could just fix some things and I wouldn't be as stressed? Or is it I got a runaway mind? Like, if something goes wrong, the next thing you know, I'm trying to fix everything for everybody and I'm worried what people are thinking and blah, blah, blah. So now I need to fix all of that because no shot in the world is solving those things for us. And so that is why a lot of times there's a lot of science out there that shows those shots will take you so far. But eventually, what happens is you're going to run up on your wall where it's not really, I need more of the dosage. It's like there's just things that are happening and I eat over them so much so I'll override my dosage. Like, so that's why I always say, like, when y'all are on these things, it's no different than like back in the day when everybody was getting weight loss surgery. At first, you're highly motivated to not eat your feelings because you get violently ill. And it's very dangerous and all kinds of stuff. They go about a year, they lose a lot of weight, and then they have suddenly figured out the right puddings and chips and different things, the slider, like they used to call it slider foods. Eventually, they regain the weight because they never solved the reason they were eating. They just sewed their stomach up some, and then they were left like a lot of times when you're losing weight. This happens when you're doing it traditionally or medically. For some people, the intoxication of losing weight feels so good, and you are free of, like, you're experiencing so many wins on the scale. You are now getting to experience what it sounds like to enjoy yourself, like what you're doing, to believe in yourself, to be proud of yourself. Whereas before, you didn't get any of that. So your life may be a shit show, but this all feels so good. It's like blasting at a level 10, and the shit show of life is now, it sounds like it's a four, so it can't overwhelm it. Then eventually what happens is you get used to losing weight and whatnot, and the new success and the thrill of it, so that voice starts kind of going away. It's just like, oh yeah, we're losing weight. This is good. Like it naturally conditions because that's the way brains are supposed to do it. Well, then the shit show of life that was now a four is like slowly turning up. And now the next thing you know, you're like at a nine on stress again and feeling good is a four and it overwhelms it. And so it's like, but I want to feel good. So I go back to the eating. So I want you to just separate out. Like, there is the stuff that I can do metabolically, but there's the stuff I've got to do emotionally. Or I'll go back to eating either while I'm on the shot or once I come off of it, if you do. Some people take it for life, some people don't. And so if you stop it, you better make sure you solved all the things you ate over to begin with. Otherwise, your brain only knows one way to deal with it because you didn't teach it a new way to deal with those things. So the second you
It
come off this, go ahead.
makes sense, but when I was young, I never had a problem with my weight. So I was
Doesn't
thin,
matter.
no matter
It
what
does
I
not
ate.
matter.
So I
Does
never
not
had,
matter.
I didn't have to look. And then I've already been through 6 years of OA, like lots of different Weight Watchers in the old days. And these
You
issues
probably, this is
are.
probably what happened in your 20s and 30s and stuff. It's number one, we're metabolically different anyway during those
Yeah, I'd
ages.
say
Our body is still,
mid-30s.
yes. So at some point, metabolically, we switch over. And if you think about it, in your 20s and 30s, you're more active than you are in your 30s and 40s. We've, like, my niece was at college. She had to walk every day to get to school and stuff. Hills. Like, she was in Knoxville, where everything is like this, is a hill. Well, since she's come back, she's now a programmer for us. She sits on her ass all day. Her food hasn't changed much. Her lifestyle has. And so, like, I always tell people the other thing that we do in our 20s and 30s is sometimes we can get away with eating more because we also dealt with our stress different, or we didn't have as much stress back then. I mean, I am for sure more stressed now than my 20 something self. You know, I mean, I had a few worries back then, but I mean, now I worry about retirement. I'm worried about my son's retirement. I'm worried about my mother getting older. I'm worried about, you know, thousands of clients. Like, you know, when I was in my 20s, I worried how big my ass was. And I worried if I was going to have an extra $20 to go to the club this weekend or not. I mean, that was about the extent of my worries. So I don't like even I don't care, and you shouldn't either, how easy it was for you back then, because you're comparing apples to oranges. Your body is different. When we're in our 20s and 30s, we're not even losing muscle and bone yet. You can do nothing and keep all your muscle and bone. You hit your 40s, you are actively losing muscle if you ain't doing something to keep it. The body is now like, whoop, we're in the shutdown mode. We can just let go of all this unnecessary muscle and bone. Who needs that? So don't compare apples to oranges. It'll leave you frustrated.
Well, this is a very specific example. I enjoy traveling a lot. I often go to Spain, to a little island. I have a lot of friends there, because I thought that would be a good place to learn Spanish. You know, I could go down the street, but no. But now I have a kitty who's a little bit older, and he got himself diabetes, and he needs insulin twice a day, so I can't really leave him. I can't really. The person who watches him normally, he's a little shy about giving him a shot. The techs at the vet who could give a shot, if they came to the house, the kitty would run and they'd never see him. So I haven't traveled to the last year and a half, almost 2 years. So that is a stress, but my feeling is I don't want to leave him right now because I don't
Why
think.
is it a stress to not be able to travel? Why is it
Because that
not
brings
just
me
a
so much
choice?
joy. Oh, it's a choice as a, well, right. It is a choice, but I miss seeing
Yeah,
my.
but in the moment when you're missing it, what do you tell yourself?
I want to be with him right now.
Right.
I don't want
That's
to
how we
travel
take
right
the
now.
stress out of, like, not being able to travel is not stressful. Our thoughts about not being able to travel is what will either raise the stress or will lower the stress of that. So, like, if you know, like, you know, traveling is fun for me, then I have to figure that my problem isn't to sit around and bemoan that I'm not traveling. My problem is I have to create fun at home right now because I choose to be here for my cat. And so it's like looking at those things. It's like, because it's really easy for us to just throw out there, this is stressful. I'm gonna tell all of you the secret of the world is there's nothing that's actually stressful.
So what
Stress
have you
can't
looked at?
happen without your brain's consent. So at some point, you have decided to think things that will stress you out. The only thing that's truly stressful is like if you get on a treadmill at the doctor's office and they make you do a stress test, they're actually trying to stress your heart. That is stressful. Okay. Not because it's scary, but
That.
because their intention is to push your heart to see how hard can we go. Everything after that, the most powerful thing you will ever do for yourself is to listen to how many times you say, this is stressing me out. Say, like, but why? Because, like, even if you lost your job, losing your job isn't stressful until you start thinking things like, I suck, I'll go homeless, I'll never recover, nobody wants me. All of those thoughts will be stressful. And if you lose your job and you say, I'm very determined to get another one, I will fill out 100 resumes, or I'll send out 100 resumes a day. Now we're not stressed, now we're focused. If we worry we can't pay our bills, then we have to say, like, okay, let me go through my math. Let me make sure that that is a real thing. If that is a real thing, okay, what is in my control? Can I go be a barista? Can I take a job that I currently feel like it's not good, like I'm beyond. Can I get over my ego to bring in money? Like, just notice how there's like each person gets to decide how they want to think. I tell myself all the time, girl, we ever lose it all, you're going to be a bartender and you're going to be a server because you know how to do it. I would never be homeless. I might not be in this house, but I would never go homeless.
Yeah, my work is a little lower, slower than it normally is for the first time in a long time. And I think, well, why, maybe for the reason that might be happening in my life. So I think, okay, you really need to write this other book, for example. But then
That's it.
I haven't written the
You
other
get
book.
what?
I get like frozen.
Yeah, so this is an invitation to figure out why do I freeze? What am I afraid of? And now I need to work on my fears because that's the only thing standing between me and a book. I don't just get frozen. I have reasons in my head that create so much fear that I don't act. I wonder what those fears are. And let me work on those fears so that I can get to writing my book.
Yeah. And then I want to ask you, well, how many puddings do you think I could have at still?
This is the answer. I think you should have as many puddings that you don't need to make yourself happy or de-stressed.
Okay.
If you're eating pudding for bullshit reasons, zero.
Zero.
If you just love pudding and you want to have one every now and then because it's absolutely delightful and you're going to savor every bite and you're going to have no regrets, and you know ex that says nothing to do with emotion, you will never be overweight because of that. But you will be overweight if you're eating pudding because you don't want to write your book because you're afraid. Or you're having so many puddings because you're trying to find the line of how much can I eat in a day before I gain weight. Yeah, that's a real slippery slope right there. Okay.
Behind me, this paperwork for my book right there.
There you go. Staring you in the face, saying, like, figure out why you're afraid. I'll wait. I'm ready to be worked on. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Trina, somebody said, let's see, when will the 90-day group have access to all coaching calls? Not to the end of the 90 days. But if you've been a past member, let's say you just want to hear Kathy's calls or something, you can always write in. I'm going to tell all of you that are on this call. If you are newer and you've come back and you really think you can handle having access to everything, you can get it from us. But here's the caveat. Don't ask for shit, get it, and then complain. I'm confused. I don't know what to do. Blah, blah, blah. Because I didn't structure the program for you to get everything. I structured it for one outcome. Get through 90 days to figure out why the fuck you're eating too much so you can lose weight. Okay. Now, if you want the other stuff, you can write in and get it. But do not do it if you know you are going to risk being overwhelmed, quitting, and acting like you don't know what to do because you've invited that in now. Okay, that's the big thing. I just want everybody to understand. Man, your coat is fabulous, by the way. I'm just over here
Well,
looking
thank you.
at it. Now, I've been looking, there's a company that I love their clothes. They're real sexy, but I rarely get to order because I never have anywhere to go, called JLux Label. And they just came out with a faux fur line. I mean, every
Another.
day I'm looking at them, I'm like, I just need a head to toe fur. And I'm like, Corinne, where are you wearing that to? All you do is like at best go to the gym. Like, I don't go
Well,
any
this one
like.
I just wore to church today and I'm still cold, so there you go.
I'm telling you, if I walked into the gym full on fur, they'd be like, what are you like going to a boxing match or something? Do we need to like the incoming Corinne Crabtree weighing in at 150 pounds? All right. What are we coaching on?
Okay, so I've lost a total of about 150 pounds.
Good
I've been
deal.
on
Some of it was with Mounjaro.
Okay.
I have titrated down from 14 to 10, did great, didn't gain any weight, it was really rocking and rolling. New Year's Eve, I gave myself permission to eat more than usual. And then New Year's Day, ate a little bit more than usual. And then I zipped it up. And I have gained weight, like a half a pound a day since I've gained 10 pounds. And I know I haven't eaten an additional 35,000 calories. I feel, and I'm a weight loss coach, so I feel like a fraud, but I feel like there's something medically going on. I feel like the shot's not working anymore. That's okay. I'm hungry. I don't mind being hungry a little
You're
bit.
supposed to be hungry.
Yes, but now I'm feeling it deeper, but I don't have to eat every time that hunger comes. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying I don't eat out of emotional reasons. I really don't. I've got that locked down. Something's going on and I'm freaking
Have
out.
you
And I
talked to
know that's
your
the worst thing.
doctor?
Huh?
You talked to your doctor about it first.
Okay.
Like, this is the reason why I'm saying this, is because if it's metabolic, the last person's advice you want is someone that has zero medical background. I
You can help me with my thoughts, though.
you with your thoughts for sure, but I always think, like, as us coaches, I think we always want to like go to our thoughts first. And I'm like, sometimes if there's a circumstance that's fucking things up, we need to fix the circumstance. So if you like legit feel it's metabolic, don't try to outthink it. Actually, talk to a doctor and say, I ate on New Year's Eve. I ate on New Year's Day. I am beyond that. And I have gained 10 pounds and it's not coming off. I just want to make sure there's nothing metabolically going on.
Okay.
Okay.
I think that's
Because,
good.
yeah, I do think it's good because, like, the thought work in this is it's not always a thought problem. If you're not emotionally eating, then you owe it to yourself to get it seen medically first. Okay.
Okay.
Now, what is the, like, other than I'm a fraud as a weight loss coach, which was a humdinger of a thought that needs to be worked on, is there one that you prefer to work on other than that that you think is really a problem?
Just like I'm freaking not going to gain this weight back. I mean, I'm not eating extra. This isn't fair. This isn't right. What's going on? And I know freaking out's the worst thing because then you could start eating when you're freaking out. Like, well, you know, if I'm going to gain weight, I might as
But
well
you're
eat.
not.
I'm freaking
Right,
out.
but right, but all right, so let's do this. Coach, did you go to life coach school?
No.
Okay. Well, that won't make sense then.
I know a lot of her stuff, but no, I did not go there.
No, it's fine. I was just going to say, we're just going to put as the fact. Okay, your fact is I'm freaking out about it. Now, how do you want to be with yourself? That's the fact. Like, what do you expect as someone who is a, like, I'm gonna tell you right now, if I suddenly gained 10 pounds, I'm a weight loss coach too, been one since 2007. And if I like had no explanation, I'm like, oh my God, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I gained 10 pounds. It's now not coming off.
Yeah.
I would freak out too. Okay. Now, we can't stop that part, probably. What we can do, though, is figure out how we want to show up for it. Because right now you're freaking out and then saying, because I'm freaking out, that must mean all my emotional eating will come back. Or it's like, no, I can get really good at knowing there are going to be times in my life I freak out, and the reaction could be, I learned how to support myself through it. Both are an option. So how do you like, I would just say, like, the fact is I'm going to freak out about this because I don't know what's happening. What else would I expect my brain to do? Just be like, oh, well, it'll be all right. Like,
Yeah.
you
Okay.
literally don't know why it's happening. Our brains are wired to freak out about that. It's a wired to like send up the alarm. And, you know, you're a coach and like you have a lot of reasons why your brain is heavily invested on saying, I'm gonna, you know, do the tornado siren. So now what do you want to do about that, knowing that that's gonna happen?
I want my, I guess my thoughts to be about that. I can be calm. I can be mature. I can take care of myself by going to the doctor. And I can't do more than I'm doing, you know. I mean, I can't starve. I can't eat less. If I had to put calories to my amount, I'd probably eat between 1,000 and 1,200 a day. You can't eat less than that. That's not healthy.
No.
So I guess I just want to be calm and
So how are we going to be calm in the middle of your freak out?
ah, we're gonna breathe. We're going to well, I think first what you said, I'm gonna get to a doctor and find out what's going on. And then I'm going to be I think gracious with myself and I don't talk bad to myself at all, but I am, you know, kind of blaming myself. There's surely something I'm doing, you know, but there's really not.
I don't talk bad about myself, except, well, I'm a fraud and like all this other stuff.
Right. Okay. Well, yes,
So
those are the thoughts that are coming in. I try to make them go away, but those are the thoughts that are coming
that
in.
is the problem. All right. Your job is not to make the thoughts go away. So it's like my brain is terrified. It doesn't know what's happening. It's telling me all this stuff because it wants reassurance. And you're just like, go away.
Yes, yes.
Out. I don't need you. And you're going to make me eat. And this is like so bad. And you know, and you're a fraud on top. And like, I don't understand why I'm so stressed. I mean, I don't really talk that bad to myself.
Okay. Yep, that's it. Yeah.
I think the hardest thing for all of us is to we want our thoughts to go away. And thoughts don't go away. They just don't. And so we're always fighting with reality. It's like if I just coached myself more, if I just was a better coach, if I would just get this 10 pounds off, like we spend so much energy trying to make thoughts go away instead of, I want to get so good at hearing my thoughts and knowing my thoughts and then talking with them. Not at them, not dismissing them, not trying to erase them as if they never existed. It's like your brain's whole genetic makeup is to always try to keep you safe, which means in order to keep you safe, it has to 100% of the time look for danger.
It's
And
finding
you're
lots of
saying,
danger.
yes. And like all of us are somehow sitting around going like, I'm so mad. And I wish that my brain would just quit doing that. It's like, brains are not going to quit doing that. It'd be like us being pissed that the earth rotates around the sun. If we all just got mad enough and maybe yelled at the earth enough, maybe it would rotate around something else for us. Could you
Yeah.
imagine if the whole human race spent its entire time on Earth pissed at how it rotated around the sun? We'd just be miserable. And that's what we do when we like are fighting with our thoughts. It's like, I don't want these thoughts. It's like, but you have them. So do you want to spend your life mad at your thinking, or do you want to spend your life understanding your thinking and being
Understand.
compassionate and talking with it? And like knowing why it's here and knowing that there's nothing you're going to think, nothing we inherently think makes us do stuff. It's the stuff we don't catch and we stop listening to. It doesn't make us do things, it's the natural order of how it works.
Okay.
If you're not catching this stuff or you are fighting against it, then yes, eventually emotional eating comes because it's the natural order of events. The more you stress yourself out about what you're thinking, you are inviting emotional eating in because your brain is going to say, like, oh my God, you have turned up the stress level so much, I don't know what else to do now. So we want to watch for that. So I just want you to like pay attention to, here are the things I am thinking. It makes sense why my brain is so panicky right now. It doesn't know why this is happening. It feels like I'm doing all the right things, and yet the outcome doesn't match what I'm doing. And when something doesn't make sense, the brain's job is like danger, danger, danger. Because I'm going to nag you until you figure it out, or I'll nag you until you eat over it. So we don't think about it. So now we just want to, like, for you, I think it's the easiest solution is to start with that can calm your brain down some is like, we are going to seek a doctor first. This doesn't make sense. I have actually looked at this. This is exactly what I would tell a client. So you're not a fraud. You're not a fraud because you gained 10 pounds. You're just a woman that's gained 10 pounds and you don't know why. A fraudster would be telling other women, you don't need to know why. Just diet harder. To me, that's a fraudster. So go find that out and see if you can get some resolution. And then if they don't have resolution, if there's like, nope, there's nothing metabolically wrong with you, I would probably at that point, I would probably get a nutritionist or a dietitian on board because you are doing a shot. And if you are eating 1,000 to 1,200 calories a day, then what might be happening is maybe the mix of foods you're eating is off, or maybe you actually need to eat a little bit more. You know, like there's things. Do you lift weights too while you're doing all this?
A little bit, not much.
Okay. And this also could be a signal that you just need more weightlifting involved in order to get more metabolically active tissue in your body. You know, that's what weightlifting does, is that it will, on your body, there are certain things that are metabolically active, and like fat is not. You know, it doesn't take any, it just sits there like freeloader all the time. Muscle, and the more you have of it, it takes energy to sustain it. So your body has to consume more calories to have it. I think that's why I like for me to maintain my weight, if we like, we do calories, I'm somewhere between 2,100 and 2,500 calories a day. And that's not
But you
even
do a lot of
without
weightlifting.
4 days a week, sometimes five. I mean, I go through periods where right now I'm doing 5 days a week, but I don't do cardio. I walk. And I don't walk a lot. Like y'all, if I ever shared my steps a day, y'all be like, "Oh, Corinne, I work. I mean, like I'm on coaching calls all the time." You know, it's not like I can be walking while we're like, you know, unless I'm just sitting here doing the calls like this, you know, or I guess get one of those little ellipticals for under the desk and motor around while we're on a call. But I just lift a lot of weights, and it takes like more calories than the average woman simply because I have just spent the last, you know, last lot of years deciding to lift weights as my primary, not cardio, because cardio, it strengthens your heart. It's good for you. So I do like twice a week when I lift weight. I lift so heavy though that my heart rate tends to stay at about the range of someone doing a moderate run. You know, like a lot of times I'm bending over. I need to just film one of my workouts one day so y'all can see the misery of what I do when I lift, because I'm like bent over, breathing, trying to catch my breath. And I'm just lifting. Like, I'm not even doing jump around lifting. I mean, I'm talking, I can get winded on bicep curls. So, you know, maybe you need to lift a little bit more weight to boost some more metabolic tissue. Gonna hurt you. Those are things I would think about.
All right. Well,
All
thank you.
right.
I'll work on those
You may
thoughts
be
too.
the most fabulous look that has ever showed up on a call. I'm just going to say, you sitting in a fur is worth somebody watching this replay just to be like, this is how we should dress for calls, ladies.
Well, thank you for that.
You
Thanks,
are
Corinne.
welcome. All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I would film a workout. If my little Anytime Fitness, like there's no filming in there. I would probably, the bros would probably, like, they would not be down with that. Susan, the bros. If we don't think anything stressful during the day, why does my Oura Ring show I was stressed during the day? I don't have any conscious stressful thoughts. So, like even concentration will send your stress levels up. So, like on a day like where I'm not sitting around beating myself up, but if I'm sitting around, I think it was, I don't know, it was one day this week, I was building something complex out behind the scenes. And like I had to write like eight newsletters and, like where I have to really think about, all right, this week the message is this. So I need to make sure I go look for this. I've got to like hyperlink these things. That also raises stress levels. Like deep thinking raises stress levels. So if you do, like if you have a day where you are just on the go a lot, or maybe you're in meetings or you're thinking a lot, that too can raise stress levels. It's not just, stress isn't just bad things. Different things can stress the body. All right, what are we coaching on?
All right. I have been kind of at war with myself between listening to the previous GLP-1 calls where you've talked about timed eating and, doing protein forward as much as I can and waiting for hunger and all my pre-GLP-1 days of no BS of, well, I don't need to eat till I'm hungry. I don't need to eat till I'm hungry. And now changing that thought process to, am I eating enough? I've had accountability partners that kind of, when we share our plans, will say, it doesn't look like you're even planning enough food. But
How would
historically,
they know if it's enough?
they just think it's not enough. I don't know. I
Do
mean,
you put the
it's.
quantities on there? Are you putting the measurements and stuff on there?
For the majority of my foods, no. If I
Okay, that's how I
plan.
would say they like people will watch my food log. I post very often in that thread what I'm eating for the day. And I have had people privately write in and say, Corinne doesn't eat very much. They don't know how much of that food I'm eating. Like I have to eat over 2,000 calories a day to keep up. But to them, it looks paltry. I'm like, yeah, well, this morning my breakfast, it's like a 300 calorie bagel, two yogurts that are 150 calories each. I had a 600 calorie breakfast, but it looks like yogurt and a bagel.
And that's how
So.
what mine looks. I do put quantities if it's something like pizza, because I'm
I think I'm not trying to go down the rabbit hole of that. All I'm saying is, are you eating enough? You're the only one that knows that. Not your account. Just because they see you list foods, that's not an accurate representation of how much you're eating. That's just the food you choose for the day. But that doesn't mean, like my husband, if he eats once a day, okay, he eats chicken, rice, and yogurt for dinner. Does that sound like a lot of food?
It would depend on the portion.
Exactly. If you saw his bowl when he comes walking in and it's this big and it's full of rice, he uses almost two full, what we call Chernobyl Farms chicken breasts because they're, I mean, these chickens, they must be
They're
walking around
huge.
looking like they're going to like wrestle something. And then yogurt means three yogurts. He also puts barbecue sauce like it's soup on there, but I tease him about it all the time. But like his one meal is over 2,000 calories. So.
So yeah, and I think their comments about it kind of got to me a little bit because I was on a stall for so long. And then so I did do a little bit increased my food. And I think that because it seems kind of ridiculous. I mean, I'm down like 6 pounds, just over 6 pounds since the first of the month. And I spent 2 weeks like eating a slight bit more, like maybe go like trying to do a little bit of time duty. I mean, I've never been somebody that's eaten breakfast. It just the food in the morning has never appealed to me. So I do add protein powder to my coffee to try to get
some kind of protein in the mornings. I print plan breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But when I get hungry, it's do I want what I planned for breakfast or do I want what I planned for lunch? And I choose that way. But I feel like I did for a little bit, I did bump up a little bit of my portions to see if maybe I was not eating enough.
You experimented, and that's good.
And I kind of kicked that did kind of kick off, I think, I don't know, my weight loss since because
I
I'd
would
been on.
totally attribute it to it. You made a change, you experimented, looks like it
Okay.
worked. I'd just be like, yep, all right, problem solved. Why are you at
Okay.
war with yourself, though? I don't understand why you're at war
It
with yourself.
seems like if I try to do some kind of timed eating, I feel like, but I'm not hungry. I shouldn't be eating yet. It is the
Right,
thought.
but you're on a shot.
Right. And I'm also a type 1 diabetic, so I feel like the shots work a
Right.
little bit different
You,
for me.
right. Your body sends very different signals than the average person. So we have to listen in a new way. So when you're like, if you're on the shot or you're a type 1 diabetic or something, you don't get to just listen to the tummy. You have to also listen to your logical brain. If your logical brain says, I need to be eating, I'm gonna give y'all a spoiler alert. Everybody write this down. Your brain is part of your fucking body.
Yeah, 'cause I
Y'all are
think
like, the last place I want to listen to is that part of my body. And it happens to be
it know?
the smartest part of your body.
Yeah, 'cause I think I do just simply rely on am I getting hungry, like stomach growling? And so maybe I'm not
Yours is
too
not going to do that. Like,
tuning
and
in.
it may sometimes, but I think what you need to do is you need to be thinking about my body's different. And so I just need to think about what's best for my body. Sometimes that may be waiting for hunger because I know right now I'm wanting to eat simply because I'm having a bad day. So I will wait. Like, that's when. Like actually tuning in, what's going on? Oh, here's what's going on. I'm having a bad day and pizza sounds good. So I'm gonna listen, like, my body's not actually asking for food. My time schedule says I don't need food. My emotions are saying, oh my God, I hate what's going on right now. Can we just please have some pizza and not think about this? Okay, that's also thinking before you eat. That's still honoring the four basics. Because
Right.
we do the four basics to find those moments. That's literally what the four basics are there for. We just talked about it in the last call. The purpose of the basics is to find those moments that we're not used to looking for. Okay. Now, there are going to be times, though, that your like stomach and stuff is not the most reliable source of information.
Right.
And there's not anything wrong with that. Because you have a brain, you know your patterns, you know your blood sugar, like you know so many things. It's like, all right, sometimes I'm going to be using what my brain says is absolutely best. Just like your brain had an indication that you weren't eating enough. And it said, I think we should try this. And your body said, I think you're right. I feel safe enough to drop some more weight. So, it will feel like you're at war with yourself. So I just want you to remind yourself, I'm not at war with myself. I'm doing like everybody. I'm getting very used to thinking before I eat. It will never be black and white. It won't be black and white for you, just like it won't be black and white for the average chick who just joined. She ain't on a shot and she's definitely not a diabetic. She is just an emotional eater. And it will not be black and white for her either. And I think when we all quit waiting for the moment where it's like, I've got the right rules and the right combination, I never have to think again. It's like, that day's never coming. No, you will forever be someone who will think before they eat. And the reason why, and this is the most important reason why, if you don't think before you eat, you may be going through life eating for reasons that make you miserable. Like on our last call, we had somebody who was eating on the weekends because she's lonely. It's like, I don't want you to just stop eating on the weekends and be lonely. I want you to be someone who figures out either how to entertain herself, be brave enough to go make new friends because maybe you've lost your friends, or be comfortable with yourself to where you can't. Like, my son was talking to my sister-in-law about how he's like, he loves spending time alone. And she was like, I hate being alone. Because my sister-in-law is like most of us. When she's alone, she suddenly feels like all the things that she would never think about when she's busy come up. And it's hard. And my son doesn't have that. To him, being alone is amazing. It's restorative. It's fun. He gets to fill his time doing what he wants. He gets to read. He gets, like, to him, it's luxury. It's like two people having the exact same experience with loneliness and aloneness. And so I don't want y'all to ever not be thinking before you eat, because our habit will always be the moment we stop thinking before we eat, we are likely to stop thinking about what we most need in life too. And I don't want you to not have
Makes
that
sense.
habit. Okay.
That makes sense.
All right. So no more being at war with yourself. Just tell yourself, I'm just getting used to this not being black and white. And it feels very different.
And I think I need to do a little bit more honing in on what hunger signals I may be missing. 'Cause it's either waiting for my stomach, a stomach growl type thing, or I'm noticing a drop in my blood sugar, so I know I have to eat. I need to eat something. And those are the two main that I rely on. So it's a matter of figuring out what I could be missing.
Yeah, I just started calling it. I haven't really introduced the concept, but it's the same thing we do. I've just kind of given it a different name. I want everybody to be looking for quiet hunger. It's the hunger we've never been conditioned to listen for. They're like, so many of y'all are just waiting on only stomach growls. And the reason why I always teach this is because I haven't ate since early this morning, like probably like 7:30, 8 o'clock. And I'm my stomach's, it's 3 o'clock. Okay. My stomach is now growling. I would have loved to, I was hungry when the first call started. Okay. But I can't eat on camera. And so if I wait for stomach growling, I am pushed way beyond hunger. For me, at noon, I knew I was getting hungry because right before this call started, I started yawning and I started like rolling my neck. And for me, that's a hunger signal. That's my quiet hunger saying, I think it's been a minute. Do you need to eat? And because hunger, like eventually what happens is when you get really good at paying attention, we start listening for little things that we never attributed as a hunger signal. So
Excuse me.
maybe see if you can like say like, I'm going to be on the hunt for the quiet hunger. So I don't have to just rely on my blood sugar dropping in order to get there.
That's always not a good thing. For
Right.
sure. Okay. That makes sense.
All
Okay.
right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Last one, Rochelle. Let's see. I know I need to be my best friend, but I might be a friend or a good acquaintance, but not a best friend yet. Any ideas that might help? Probably not trusting myself enough. Start like asking myself, in what areas do I not trust myself? And is that true? Sometimes we just assume we can't trust ourselves. We're so used to thinking we can't trust ourselves in junk. Sometimes we need to start giving ourselves proof that we can. So, this is not to be religious, but today's homily, I swear I was sitting in church thinking, like, how am I going to turn this into a lesson? Because this is so good. The priest, he's one of nine, and he has like 30 something little nieces and nephews. And he said that he's got this one niece. Rochelle, why don't you come on up? Let me see if you want up. And then turn your camera on when you come on. He was saying that he has this one little niece, and when they were all at a family thing, the his brother-in-law said, "Hey, watch this trick." And so he said, "Where's Jesus?" And she pointed, and she was like, "Jesus," like that. And he was talking about how that she was used to now going into any room to see if she could find Jesus. And I was sitting there thinking about it. So I just thought it was a beautiful message to be able to go anywhere and find, like, whatever you want to find. And I thought, I think we forget that, we can go through life and look for the things that we're not used to looking for. So, like, trust. We're so used to thinking about ourselves as someone who I don't like myself or I don't trust myself and stuff that we forget that our job is to now walk through our weight loss life. Like, for you, like, where can I find that I'm building trust? Where are, because the only way that you will become someone who trusts themselves is you have to be able to find where you're already doing it. Otherwise, whatever, it's just like our brain scans for danger. Our brain also scans for everything that we keep telling it. So if we say we have a stressful life, our brain's job is to like filter out all the moments where we're not stressed, all the little moments where everything's going fine. Its job is to drop a pin in every moment that looks like it's too much for us. And it convinces us that that's all that's happening because it's all that we're consciously seeing. So your brain has something called reticular activation system, the RAS. And its job literally is to filter out anything that you don't think is important or that you don't think is happening or whatever, and to only look for the things that you keep telling it that it's like, but I'm stressed. All right, so I need to spend the rest of the day looking for stress. We're not doing good right now. Then its job is to look throughout your life. Here's all the areas where you're not doing good. Because its job is to point that out to you because you've told it that's what you want to look. And it thinks, like, okay, well, I need to see this because that's the dangerous stuff. So, what we want to do is, like, if you're saying, if I'm not trusting myself enough, then my job now is to train my brain to say, like, and where today did I clearly show that I can trust myself? With what? So let's say you made a plan, but you didn't follow it. It would be easy to say, like, see, I can't trust myself. I make plans and I don't follow them. It would be smart of you to say, I can trust myself to make a plan tomorrow to see if I can get good at following it. I trust that I'm making plans. I'm just not good at the following yet. I trust myself to do discovery worksheets. I trust my whatever it is. And it's to highlight that. All right. You ready? Wait, I can't hear you. You're still muted.
You
There you
hear
go.
me now?
Yes. All right. What are we
Okay,
working
good.
on?
Well, so good. A few people addressed some of it. So, I've been with you a couple of years doing the GLP. What I'm noticing is, what I learned from the program, it's really apparent to me because I'm not hungry that it's emotional. And sometimes it's such a strong emotion that, like, I don't know what to do. An example was last week. I was very aware of it. So I did a hard workout. I went to the gym. I watched a TV show I like. I tried doing everything all day. I think I might even journaled, I don't know. But it took until the evening when I actually I got high so I could like chill my ass out. So I never figured out how to chill myself out without food. And kind of worried me because I'm like,
Wait a
I've been
minute.
working on this.
You got high. Did you end up eating too?
No, I didn't
So
eat
you
through the
did
whole
figure
thing.
out how to get through it without eating.
Well, I guess I did.
That's a terrible example. It's
is. It is. It's
like,
not really,
look,
I don't
all
want it
day
to be my
long.
go-to. What?
But let me just say, like, Like in your mind, you're like, I haven't figured out how to get through it without eating, except you had a classic example of I did this, I did this, I did this, and I never ate. So I'd like
Okay.
help with eating through it. I'm like, I don't know. It sounds like you know what you're
Okay.
doing.
Okay.
So what do
I
you
guess what I would like a little help is how to maybe not feel it so hard. Like it consumed me. I mean, it just fucking consumed me.
What was it?
I may this sounds a little silly. I may not have pinpointed beyond feeling like crap all day. Like I just was like, oh my God, I'm so fucking stressed. I'm so anxious. My heart's beating. I was like that. So I guess I have to like figure out what that is then, right? Like what
Right.
was
The
the
only way that, like, so. That's why I wanted to know. So a lot of times when we feel big emotions and stuff like stress, anxious, and whatnot, sometimes actually just doing things like I'm gonna go to the gym. Like that's like me. Whenever I am like at my bandwidth, I know I need to work out, I need to walk, I have to do something physical.
Right.
Only way that I can get through like stress and anxiety until I can calm my body down enough to now think about, so why was I stressed and so anxious to begin with? When you're in the heightened emotional state, especially stress and anxiety, your brain's job is to like your logic brain is like supposed to leave the room. It's like what I was talking about, like your logical brain turns down the more stressed and overwhelmed and things that are happening, and your habit brain kicks in. Your habit brain actually now has other things to go to other than food, or it would not have even suggested to work out. It would not have suggested the other things. So it's like,
Okay.
think about like
That's
you
a
have a
good
tool
thing
belt.
then.
Yeah, you've got
Okay.
a tool belt now full of things. Food's one of them. It will always be in the tool belt. But now, because you've got like 10 things to choose from, maybe 10% of the time you go to food. 90% of the time you're cycling through other things. Now,
Okay.
what's always like, and when you ask the question of how do I I guess lessen these experiences or whatever,
Yeah.
that's when we go back and we actually do journal about not just here's how I'm feeling in this moment, but we go back and you look at you sit today and you think about what was it going on in my life where I was so stressed that day? What was I worrying about? What was I
Oh, I
anxious
know what
about?
it is. I just remembered it.
Okay.
Okay. I live in Illinois. And I didn't know it at the time, but Blue Cross Blue Shield had screwed up my husband's health insurance, and I couldn't find out why. And we were waiting to get a surgery done, so I took like a whole day off. I was on the phone with them. I was trying not to be mean to them. I was suppressing a lot, and I was scared.
That's suppression.
No,
Trying not to
because
be
I was.
mean to someone so that you can get the outcome you want. I call that handling that well. Suppression would have been being on the phone with ding dongs going in your mouth the entire time. That's suppression, okay? Let's just be super clear.
All right.
You were feeling your emotion. Like, I just want you to take a moment to say, I think you think that that day was a problem because you were stressed and anxious. And I'm like, I don't know. If your medical bill is screwed up and you need to have a surgery and stuff, that is the exact moment stress and anxiety is supposed to come in. Because what
Okay.
it does is it makes you call Blue Cross Blue Shield. Had you not been stressed and whatnot, you'd been like, well, fuck it. Who cares? I mean,
Okay.
if you die, that just happens, right? I mean, what do you want to be?
Okay. All
Like,
right.
laid back when you have an emergency?
Yeah. Well, maybe it is just really new to sit in the feeling like crap stage and not eat. That's
Yes,
possible.
yes. Like on that day, you are legitimately allowing yourself to be stressed, and you are legitimately allowing yourself to be anxious. You are legitimately allowing yourself to try to do things to make it better. You are also very aware that you needed to be nice to people, even though how you were feeling was heightened. Like, I just want you to see, like, you handled that day beautifully.
Okay. It felt bad.
Of
I felt,
course, stress and anxiety feels bad, but you handled it beautifully. The goal isn't to have bad things happen and immediately feel good about it. The goal in life is to have bad things happen and to be able to navigate. And that is what you did. It would be like
Well.
somebody complaining. That'd be like me coming on here and complaining and saying, like, yesterday Chris died. And I'm just so pissed. I mean, I don't feel good yet. Why am I not happy yet? I'm just sitting here wallowing in grief.
Yeah.
Like, you lose
Well,
the
you
love of
know,
your life, you're supposed to feel sad. If you have an if you have a medical bill that's wrong and it's actually interfering with, like, I don't know if we're gonna be able to have this surgery, you're supposed to, like, stress level should rise because that's what makes you take action.
I'm trying to take some action. It's my husband that's having surgery, and I think it's going to be fine. The surgery is not the problem. It's how I'm trying to manage my family, like setting up protocols for everybody, because I don't want to put myself in to be the main person right now, because I have to work and I want to be good at work. And I have one kid at home that's able to help me, and it's hard with 19-year-olds. They don't always think ahead. So I thought if I gave them listen, everything, or what I expected, let's put it this way. What I expected. So what I'm noticing with all that is they're not really kicking back, but there's a lot of anxiety between the two boys, you know, like going back and forth, usual kid stuff. But my stress level is feeling like it's a tornado what they're doing. And I think it's normal, but I guess
Let
my
me ask you
senses
this.
are.
Why is it a problem that the two boys are working this out amongst themselves?
I guess I don't want to be around when they're doing it, maybe. It makes me
Why, though?
uncomfortable to watch it.
Why does it make you so uncomfortable that they're figuring it out on their own?
I'm on a call. I know, I'm on a call. why is it hard? Can I have privacy, please? No, you can't come in and pet the dog. I'm talking on a coaching call, dude.
Man, put me on speaker. This one of the kids you're getting coached on?
Well, they're
Yeah.
twin boys, 19, and they're at,
Yeah.
one of them's in college right now. They're both living at home, so I didn't
Okay.
anticipate
So
that. I was kind of hoping we'd be by ourselves.
why is it,
Why is that
however they're
uncomfortable?
working it out between themselves, why is it stressful for you?
I feel that if my husband hears them, it's going to be a giant shit show.
Is it going to be a giant shit show if he hears them?
Yes.
And why would that be a problem if your husband gets, what
Because
does he
I
get
want to
mad?
step in. I want to step in and coach him on how to do this correctly.
Do what correctly?
Manage
Hear
their.
his moment, his own emotions?
No. I want him to step back and let them do it. If I'm gonna, I want him to step back. I don't
Why?
want him to get into it because I think he's doing harm when he does it. I don't like how he does it. And I'm trying to figure out if it's just because he talks boy and I don't.
So this is what you need to be solving. You have, this is your main problem. There is a right way to do this, which is my way, and there is a wrong way, which is the way all of you do it. And so now I get stressed. Because you don't do it the way I want to. And I'm going to try to micromanage this so much so that the rest of you should be miserable with the way you handle it so I can feel better. Like legitimately.
If you aren't right about that, okay, I'll take it. I'll take it,
This.
but all right, so what do I do with that then? Because we are both smart people, but I just think I'm a way better communicator.
You may be, but that doesn't mean the way he communicates does harm. And that's what you have to really think about. Like, in your mind, the way you said it is that he's doing harm the way he does it.
I feel
Now,
like it.
right, but is it true is the question. It may be and it may not be, but we don't know. All we know is that for you, it's not the right way. And if it's not the right way, it's going to feel true. Everything you say after that, it's just going to feel like you're just spitting gospel to me. So we want to look at when my
What about
boy
me asking the boys?
asking them what?
Does it feel bad when dad does that?
You can if you want to, but I mean, you're the mother. You probably
Does
can
it, is
look and
it?
decide if it's actually harmful or if you just don't like it.
I mean, it might be that I just don't like it, but there goes the but, right? I don't want them to repeat some of the things that my husband doesn't like about himself. That aren't good for him. I feel like if he like gets in there and does that to them, then they're going to behave like that and they're going to be unhappy.
Or they're polar opposite.
Makes me nervous.
Yeah, because you're afraid they'll turn out like him.
And it's not, he's not all bad. It's just his communication style sucks.
But he's also got you could you, they I want you to think about this. Your boys, this is what you're not seeing. Your boys have a lot of opportunities for how they're going to show up in life. They've got your husband modeling things. They have you modeling a different way. So they're getting a 50-50. Sometimes humans repeat what their parents did. Sometimes humans go in the exact opposite. And if you were, I want you to just be in that truth instead of your truth is they're going to be just like him. He's not handling it well. It's not the right way. He must be doing harm. You have a lot of thoughts about it. And those
Criticism.
are the thoughts that leave you anxious, stressed, and trying to control everything. It's not your husband, and it's not the way that the kids are acting. It's when I look at this situation, my story about it is this is dangerous. And because I've decided it's dangerous, I have filled in the holes of the story in one way. Now, what we want to do is just question, is he actually doing harm? Because if he is, if it's like legit, like, he's beating on them or something, like we want to know that stuff. But like this is where it's just like with food, life is not black and white. We don't get a yes or a no. Our brain wants a yes or a no. It wants it our way or the highway. Yes or no, black and white, this or that, all or nothing.
I'm kind of
In
black and
life,
white thinker.
all of us are. The brain's design is binary for a reason. It wants there to be like a black and white so it can make faster decisions. It has everything to do with speed and trying to figure things out. It has nothing to do with what's good for us. That's why in this day
I'm
and
a
age,
faster thinker than them, and all three of them.
everybody, yeah, they
Do you
probably
think we
think
all
faster
think
than
so?
you, they just don't verbalize it. They probably are making snap decisions like, that's just mom. She worries about everything. We'll do it our way anyway. Like in their brain, it's very black and white. Our way's better than hers. She worries too much. She thinks too much. She thinks she's a great communicator. No, she ain't. She's always telling us what to do. That's not a great communicator. Like,
I hear you.
yeah, everybody has their own opinion. But this is the thing I want you to do. I just want you to like slow down and say, the safest thing for everyone is for me not to have so many assumptions. The safest thing is for me and everyone is for me to think, is he really doing harm? Are they going to turn out just like him? So the way that the way that I know this is the truth is my mother's biggest fear when we were growing up was that my brother would turn out just like my daddy. My brother looks like my daddy. My dad was not good. He was absentee, like the definition of it, all kinds of stuff. And because my brother didn't have a father figure, in my mother's mind, he was going to abandon his children one day too, because that was all he ever knew. My brother is one of the best dads in the world. He goes to church with his daughter every Sunday with me. They hang out all the time. They do leg and she's 24. They still do Legos at home. She would rather be at home with her parents than to go out with her friends. He's just been the best dad. So don't let yourself
Maybe
fool
I should think
yourself.
about that because they even both of them were home with us on New Year's Eve, so I'm guessing that
You
maybe it
can't be
doesn't
that
feel
bad.
so bad. Yeah, well, both of us, we can't be that
Oh.
bad. Okay, well, you gave me a lot to write about. I will think about this, and it's probably right. I usually do that thing, like, is this really right? That's something I learned from you that I do, like when I say, oh, he always does that. And then I think, does he really always do that, or is he just doing it right now? Okay,
Yeah.
thanks for bringing me back to center.
Yeah. And I think this will just help you with the whole idea of I think you're navigating your feelings a lot better than you think you are. And the more that you attribute, every time y'all say, I feel this way, do not attribute it to a human or a circumstance. Always attribute it to this human or this thing that just happened. I feel this way because I'm thinking this about it. That's where all your power and control lies. And then when you understand how you're thinking and feeling, like 80% of the time, we just need to change our perception because it's just wrapped in like fast decisions that our brains are making. 20% of the time, though, there's a conversation that needs to be had. It's like the last call when I was talking about my family vacations. You know, I just told Chris, I just need 1 week a year with you to come with us. You know, I was not going to be able to outthink that one. I just wanted him there that bad. Even if it meant he came and was a sourpuss the entire time, I'd rather go to bed with my sourpuss than to spend an entire week with my family missing him. And that was my trade. And so sometimes we change things. We do have a conversation. We might want to say to our husband, hey, I'm just going to tell you know, the way you're talking to the boys about this, here's how I would approach it. Or, you know, I don't know if that's the way we want to be doing that. And then sometimes it's just like, you know what? Ain't nobody getting hurt. They're all boys. And they're arguing because that's the way they do it. And no
I
one's
tried
actually getting
that.
hurt.
I tried this morning to say, is it possible that, the one just changed their mind? I know that he said yes to it 2 hours ago, but because we have a thing in our house, the change your mind clause. I said, isn't it possible that things just change? And then he's the one that's having surgery, and he did this thing to me that I really hate, where he starts telling me that, oh, well, you're just right, or you're going to have the last word. And it's not really why I'm doing it, but I don't think I can. I probably just have to walk away from that comment. I mean,
Walk away from it and ask myself, this is the hardest thing to do, but it's always the most groundbreaking for your personal growth.
right.
Where is he right about that? Because you kind of are trying to be right about it. You just
Okay.
sat here and got coached with me for 20 minutes on why
Right.
your way is way better than theirs. Because that was your original thing, is like,
All right.
communicator, I'm the one that does all this. And then he's like, hey, by the way, I think you just want to be right. And you're like, what? Not me.
Right. Nailed it. Okay. Well, good. Thank you. All
You're
right.
welcome. Good luck.
All right, have a
Bye.
great one. Bye.
You too. Bye. I will say that is one of the most powerful things to do for yourself. You don't have to do it in front of people because it's really hard to do it in front of people. But when somebody like really pisses you off and it's because they think like, you just always do this or you just blah, 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 blah. A lot of times, like, we just get so defensive. And it's literally because we're scanning for danger. It's like, oh my God, this person is not happy with me, which could be dangerous. And our brain, like, rolls around. Well, it's to take some time when you're away from the situation where you can have just a honest conversation with yourself and just say, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. And the devil's advocate role is, I'm really pissed they said this, but where could they be right in this? Just so I can see it. And there, if not, it doesn't mean that you were wrong or anything. It just gives you the perspective of, I can see why they think that, because maybe I had an ulterior motive, or maybe there was a little piece of me that was actually trying to be right in that moment or thinks my way's better or whatever. And they just put words to what was secretly going on underneath. And that doesn't mean that maybe your way wasn't the right way, but it doesn't mean that they're wrong for calling out, hey, I think my way's the right way. And when you say this, my opinion feels invalidated because that's usually where most arguments are happening. Each person thinks something should go this way. And it's where we can't see each other's perspective, is where a lot of the like stress and the anxiety and the fear and the worry and the anger and everything, it lives in that middle zone until one person is able to step back for their own sake. It doesn't mean you have to go back and apologize. It doesn't mean you do anything, but for your own sake, so that you don't sit around all the time anxious and worried and angry and all these other things, is where you can just see some of your own humanity and your responsibility and your piece of it. And then at least you know how you want to go forward. You want to, that'll give you really good information on whether or not you need to keep talking to that person. Like you really do feel this way and you feel strongly about it and you've looked at all of it and you're coming, they call it from a clean space. Or you realize, like, yeah, I was just afraid they were mad, or I was just afraid this would happen, or I just really think my way is the best way. And it aggravates me to watch somebody else do it slower, not as good as what I think it should be done. Like it's really hard for me to watch someone figure something out and to give them the time to figure out something when I'm really good at it and I can do it faster. I will just want to knock it out and I will just want to do it. And then I get overwhelmed and I get tired because now I'm doing all the things that I wouldn't give somebody else time and space to learn how to do. All right. And with that, we are done. This belly is a growling. I'm going to go eat my lunch. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.